All right, B-Mitch of Philly, 106.7 The Fan, coming to you live from Ashburn Park, out here for the Commanders practice every Wednesday. But join us now on the line. We have our guy Aaron Schatz joining us. Aaron, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
We are doing fantastic, man. Having a lot of excitement about around this football team.
Yeah, absolutely, huh? Really worked out.
Oh, yes, yes. So far it has. Let's just hope it continues.
Certainly at this point it does. Aaron, what I mean, you're kind of the founder or the father of a lot of these analytical measures that have become so popular over the years. Through eight games, what do the numbers tell you about Washington?
I mean, they're fantastic. Based on expected points added numbers, they're kind of legendary. I mean, they're up there with the strongest offenses of the last 20 years. My numbers have them a little bit lower because they've gotten a little bit lucky in a couple of certain ways, but I still have them as the number three offense in the league so far this year. And I mean, they're absolutely for real on offense, and the defense has improved. The defense has been 11th over the last 4 weeks. So that terrible defensive start, they've actually improved since then.
Yeah. Defensively, what has changed? Like, how much? It's tricky because they played some bad offenses, and then the bad offenses perform bad, and the skeptics are like, well, they shut down the Panthers. They're supposed to shut down the Panthers, but defensively they should get credit for it too, right?
Yeah, I mean, they shut down the Panthers, but not everybody shuts down the Panthers. I mean, teams do better against the Panthers than they do against, you know, an average team or a good team. You know, obviously, you're usually going to give up more offense to the 49ers than you are to the Panthers. But you don't normally completely shut them down the way that Washington did. So, and the other is, you know, if you look at how well the Arizona, I realize that's going back an extra week previous to what I did, but the Arizona offense has been pretty good this year, and they held them to 14 points. So it's not like it's just been bad offenses that they've been holding down.
It really has been fascinating. What do you think of Jaden Daniels as a rookie quarterback, and kind of what are the numbers suggesting the conversation he belongs in among all quarterbacks?
I mean, he's fantastic for a rookie quarterback. He's, you know, definitely on pace to be, you know, I don't think he's still on pace to have like the best, most valuable rookie season we've ever measured, but he's close to it. It's among the top guys. And I mean, he's definitely
who would
in
that
the
be?
MVP.
Stroud last year?
Dak Prescott, believe it or not. Dak Prescott in 2016 had the best total value for a rookie quarterback. The best value per play would be Marino in 1983.
Okay. Wow.
And that's that goes category. A long time.
What, if anything, in the Commanders' success do you think is unsustainable?
I think that at a certain point it may become an issue that the receivers are not that good other than McLaurin. And I like Noah Brown, and I thought Noah Brown was pretty good for Houston last year. But in general, there's not really a guy here that you'd be like, yeah, that's a typical starting number two receiver on another team. There's nobody who stands out like that.
Can the running game help those guys be more effective? Because I understand you're not going to just go out there and you look at that guy as number two, but when you got to be concerned with that running game and you got the guy going one-on-one against somebody else, that changes things.
Oh, sure. And when you have when you have the quarterback playing well, it changes things, right? I mean, the quarterback's going to get the ball to the receivers if he's playing well, no matter who the receivers are. But they're definitely, like, when you play Washington, you know who you have to cover. So when the time comes in the playoffs for them to go against strong defenses, those defenses are going to, you know, there's no mystery about who you have to cover. You need to cover, like, double McLaurin and dare the other guys to beat you.
Even with that, though, Terry's fourth in the NFL in receiving yards. Is he hitting a gear you weren't sure he had, or is he finally just getting good quarterback play?
Nah, everyone knew he had it. I think everybody, I think everybody looked at McLaurin the first few years and said, look at how good this guy is with bad quarterbacks. What's going to happen if he ever gets a good one? And this is what happens. Like, I don't think it's a surprise to anybody. Everybody knew how good he was.
What about Zach Ertz? Has he surprised you this year?
Yeah, I figured he was done. It has absolutely been a surprise that he has been a definite useful part of this offense. I think he's second on the team in receiving yards. It's absolutely been a surprise, especially because a lot of people were really high on Sinnott and thought, okay, Ertz is 34 years old. We like Sinnott. Yeah, we know rookie tight ends tend to struggle, but once they realize that Ertz is over the hill, Sinnott's going to break out. And instead, Sinnott's been almost completely absent, and Ertz has been much better than anyone expected.
Looking at the play of this offensive line, how good have they been? Because, I mean, they're the reason that this offense is really flowing.
Much better than anybody could have expected, and I think it gives hope to teams like New Orleans and New England, which have poor offensive line play this year, that the Commanders could go out and be active in, like, free agency and build a line in 1 year that's really good. I know the ESPN numbers have been number one in the league in run blocking and number six in pass blocking, which is just outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, the line has really been terrific. We are talking with our friend Aaron Schatz from FTN Fantasy. Of course, he's the chief analytics officer over there. Check him out at FTN Fantasy on Twitter. You can follow Aaron, of course, ASCHATZNFL. Let's zoom out a little bit. Actually, let's do one more. The Commanders have their first second game of the year, if that makes sense. They're playing the Giants again. They had a nail-biter win over the Giants in week two. I think clearly they're a different team, different offense, different defense, and NFL franchises evolve over the course of a football season. What do you think about Washington heading up to the Meadowlands?
Yeah, I like this game. For Washington, the Giants are not a good team. They have a great number one receiver. You know, you got to do everything you can to try to stop neighbors. But they have a poor offense and a very average defense, and they've had special teams problems this year. And Washington has just been a much better team than the Giants, especially over the last month.
Can you tell, like, when you're looking at teams, Aaron, and things start getting better, why they're improving and why other teams may be regressing?
Sometimes you can. Sometimes you can't. In a lot of ways, the way that looking at football is that stats often tell you what, and then film study tells you why.
Okay.
So considering that, what do you think is projecting out? The Commanders have their bye in 5 weeks. I think 9-4, 8-5 is almost a conservative estimation. Like, I want to ask you, I want to go league-wide with you, but just what do you think is kind of the ceiling? Where do you think the Commanders kind of finish? Who knows what happens when you get to the playoffs? They've had some red zone problems, but just what do they have this year in total?
I mean, honestly, 8-5 is a pretty conservative estimate. The idea that they would lose three of these five games, when you look at who they're playing, I mean, yes, the Cowboys will have Micah Parsons back by the time we get to week 12, but that game is in Washington. The Steelers look like a good team this year, right? So that's a tough one. And going to Philadelphia is certainly tough, but I think that 9-4 is a much more realistic idea of what Washington's going to be when they hit their bye week than 8-5. I mean, they could be either, but it's not the hardest schedule the next five games.
Yeah, I mean, three of the four are division games, so that just kind of becomes a toss-up. The division stuff is crazy, but if they perform to the level they've shown they can, I tend to agree with you. The only real wart, I think, for the Washington offense has been red zone inefficiency. Do you see that as like a statistical anomaly or something to be concerned about?
The good news is that red zone efficiency is often a statistical anomaly. Usually, over time, teams will see their red zone performance match their overall performance. So if they're a good offense overall, over time, they will probably be good in the red zone. And if they're a bad offense overall, over time, they'll probably be bad in the red zone. It's sort of an interesting question about how to coach because, you know, coaches, they assign a specific day to the most important things like red zone and third down. So it's an interesting question, like, if red zone tends to regress towards your overall performance, does that mean that you shouldn't assign so much time to it to prepare? Or does it mean that you really should assign a lot of time to prepare to try to break the regression? Right? But it definitely does suggest that Washington will be better in the red zone going forward.
Or you just, like, I've noticed a lot of times where when coaches put a focus on something, people are more stressed in those areas and they don't just play freely, and that could be a problem too.
It absolutely could be. I mean, it's how to coach is one of the great questions, you know, that analytics doesn't necessarily answer.
Mm-hmm. Let's zoom out from Washington a little bit, and I'm fascinated what your numbers, Aaron, tell you about the 7-0 Chiefs.
They're about the same as they were last year when they were 6-2 at this point.
Wow. So
I have them fourth in the league. Okay, which is still a really good team. That's absolutely a Super Bowl contender. But it's not as good as a 7-0 team normally is.
I think that's fair. I'm curious with the Chiefs specifically. So actually, what is your top five then if you have them fourth?
We have Detroit 1, Baltimore 2, and then Minnesota, Kansas City, Buffalo are all basically tied with each other.
Does Darnold concern you? You buy Darnold?
I buy O'Connell. I buy that O'Connell can coordinate Darnold into an average offense, and if that defense can continue to be a top three defense, that is a serious contender if they have an average offense.
And where does Washington land in your ranks?
We have them ninth right now, but definitely swinging upward because the defense has improved.
Very, very interesting. What's been the biggest disappointment for you this season? Like, what team has truly underperformed, in your opinion?
Well, the best answer is Miami, but obviously there's a good explanation for that. The other ones I would say would be Cleveland on defense, that their defense has been very average. Is a very big disappointment. And then Dallas overall. And obviously Dallas has had a lot of injuries, but the strategy that the front office in Dallas took for this offseason really hurt their depth. So they sort of were in a position going into the season where you were like, if they get hit by a lot of injuries, they're in trouble. And that's exactly what happened, especially at one position, like all their edge rushers are hurt.
We ask you about the good teams all the time. I need to ask you about some of the teams that were supposed to be good, but they're not playing well. What's going on with the Jets?
What a mess. Aaron Rodgers is definitely the Aaron Rodgers of 2 years ago, not the Aaron Rodgers of 3 and 4 years ago. Right? He looks like a league average quarterback out there.
Yeah.
They can't stop the run. The cornerbacks are not playing as well as they have in years past. Like, Ahmad Gardner is not. You know, Ahmad Gardner was fabulous the last 2 years. He's been very average this year. And it's all come together to have this team that, I mean, honestly, you know, this is not an analytical statement, but just has some bad juju around it.
Clearly.
That would clearly be the quarterback. That's the bad juju right there.
I mean, do you buy that Rodgers is just kind of sinking this team? Obviously, he doesn't intend for that, but like the level of arrogance that he should be in charge of everything is just kind of, I mean, they're floundering. They're 2-6.
I think there's an argument that can be made that it sort of hurt the psychology of the teammates. He always looks so disgusted when they don't make a third down, you know? I mean, and there's no question, like, they've built this team and they've built this coaching staff to make him happy. And it didn't work, and they're 2-6, and now they're stuck with certain contracts that, like, are going to be really hard for the next few years. Like as bad as New England is right now, you would so much rather be New England and have a young quarterback and a ton of cap space going forward than you would be the Jets with all of the salary cap problems that they're going to have from some of the moves that they made to appease Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, that whole situation is just a fascinating mess. What do your numbers tell you about Caleb and even Drake May, who's been much more limited? He didn't start, and then now dealing with a concussion. But what do you think about this rookie? I mean, hell, Bo Nix is playing. Spencer Rattler's playing. What do you think about all these rookie quarterbacks?
Bo Nix, we have the Denver offense 24th. He really doesn't – he's not good throwing deep, but he's been good enough to manage them to a winning record given how well their defense has played. Caleb Williams struggled the first three games, and he's been pretty good since then. He's been pretty good. Not so great against Washington this week, but the last couple of games before that, he had been really good. So I think he still looks very promising. May looks like a rookie, right? Like he does things that are just super promising, and then he does things that make you bang your head against the table, and then you're like, well, it's a rookie, so give it time. So it's Jaden Daniels is the one guy who's just truly outperforming what you would expect from rookies.
Love it. I mean, I think it's funny when the eye test matches up with the advanced numbers, because I feel like the numbers support it, and just watching the games kind of clearly supports it. One area, circling it back to Washington, I am curious on, is I know that in the analytical community, there's been some question about Cliff Kingsbury's offense. What do you think about what he's done this year that has certainly succeeded?
Oh, man, it's been great so far. It's been great so far. I think it's interesting. Nate Tice ran some numbers about this that he put up on Twitter a few days ago. The advantage of motion, I think one of the criticisms of Kingsbury was that he didn't use motion very much, but the advantage of motion seems to have kind of gone away over the last couple of years. Defenses are kind of used to it now, so maybe that's not such a bad thing. I think the thing about Kingsbury is, obviously, look, they've managed a rookie quarterback into such a really great season. You cannot criticize the guy right now. We're all sort of waiting for the second half because of that trend of Kingsbury's offenses declining in the second half that goes all the way back to Texas Tech. We're all kind of waiting, like, don't do it this time. Come on, like, don't do it this time. We're waiting for that before we sort of crown Kingsbury as, like, we were all wrong about him.
Could it sometimes be when you get a quarterback like a Jaden Daniels who seems to make the right decisions at all the right times and can get out of certain things that can make the offense look better, and you probably won't see what you've seen before?
No, because when you saw it at Texas Tech, the quarterback was Patrick Mahomes.
He was in college.
Yeah, he was in college, but still,
he wasn't
a pro player
at that point.
Pretty good quarterback. No, but you saw the same second half decline. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to see it or not. I don't know how real that trend is. We're all kind of waiting for it, and then when we don't see it, I think we're all going to be like, all right, mea culpa, Kingsbury was really good this year.
How much of an impact do you think having guys like Anthony Lynn and Brian Johnson on the staff can impact Cliff? Because you've got, I mean, I feel like their run game has so many elements from Anthony Lynn, and I feel like Brian Johnson's work with young passers throughout his career has been so impressive. You know what I mean? Cliff has kind of talked about his evolution. I just wonder if we're not seeing the same stuff we saw from Arizona and even further back.
No, it makes sense. I mean, I think, look, you want to get as many good coaches on a staff as possible, right? And you want them to be collaborating, so that hopefully you get the best aspects of each coach's game, and each coach can spot problems and weaknesses in what one of the other coaches wants to do so that they get the best of all of them. So I certainly think having a crew, you know, Lynn's got a good track record, right? Having a crew of good coaches collaborating is a positive thing for this team. There's so many positive things about this team right now. It's so different from how we've talked about them in past years. There's just a lot to be really positive about.
Totally.
For sure. What team do your numbers say could get hot in the second half that nobody would expect? Who's outperformed their record?
The Cincinnati Bengals.
Still?
We have them 18th, despite being 3-5. That's the highest for a losing team, and they have an easy schedule going forward. I'd say the 49ers, who are much better than 4-4. but we're all still waiting for CFC to come back. And the 49ers actually have a hard schedule going forward.
What do you think the who wins that NFC West? Because the Niners haven't seemed right all year. Purdy's throwing picks at a much higher clip than he has. Ayuk's gone. It just has seemed really disjointed.
I know. It's still their wins have been really impressive, though. So we still have we have the sixth overall, even at 4-4. I still think the 49ers, especially if you believe that CMC is going to come back, I still think the 49ers have the best chance to win that division, but there's no question that of all of the divisions, that's the one that is clearly the most up in the air.
That's it's very interesting. Hey, we always appreciate you taking time with us, Aaron. Thank you.
You're welcome. And FTNFantasy.com, again, that's the website for folks to check out.
Check it out, brother. FTN Fantasy. You can follow Aaron at A-Shots, ShatsNFL.com. Nobody go anywhere. We got some bets to talk about, and maybe we'll get a Jeff Walker World Series Game 5 preview. It's B-Mitch Finley.
B-Mitch here. Big changes are happening in the DMV, and just like our upgraded football team, now is the time to upgrade the comfort in your home with a Rood HVAC system. I did, and the difference is night and day. My family and I felt the change instantly. And if you don't have a Rood system yet, trust me, you're missing out. Plus, there are tax-eligible options for you in the DMV, and if you're in Maryland, you might score some utility rebates. Head over to Rood.com, find a local pro partner, and get ready for winter. Always remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7, The Fan. Dan Quinn spoke a little earlier today, was asked about the trade deadline coming up. I think Scott Abraham from Channel 7 asked him. And I think DQ has done a really good job of deferring that question.
Smart man.
Because he's like, that's up to Adam. Adam deals with that.
Yep. Stop asking me those damn questions.
He did say that, you know, this is the time of year where there's a lot of phone calls going around. Doesn't necessarily mean there will be a lot of deals going down, but undeniable that the trade deadline has become far more significant in the NFL than it used to be.
In recent years, yeah.
It used to be nothing, and now in the last five-ish years, honestly, you know when I think a lot of this really started, and I don't know that we could actually track this, but when the Rams won their Super Bowl late that season, they traded for Von Miller, who was excellent. And I think they might have traded for – and maybe they traded for Odell Beckham too, didn't they? Maybe Beckham was even, like, released or something.
Beckham was hurt, like, most of the year when he went there first time.
I think
– But it's gotten more they've gotten a little bit busier. But ultimately, I still believe that when teams are very, very close, they jump and they do stuff. Because every year you're going to see Kansas City doing something. And they are really a player or two away from being there all the time. Hell, they've been there for the last, three of the last five or whatever. Right now, teams going to ask questions, look at it. But I don't know if anybody's going to do as much as the Rams did before.
No, so I mean that year – the Rams traded for Von Miller, and basically Odell Beckham had complained enough that he got his release from Cleveland to then get – he signed with the Rams, basically.
Uh-huh.
So he got released, and then he was traded – and then he was able to sign with L.A. But L.A. did kind of change – they kind of changed a lot of the mindset, which now almost seems like they almost regret because of
– now they're stuck.
I wouldn't – I think the Rams, when you think about teams that – could get hot late in the year. The Rams right now are one game back of the Cardinals, and I think they beat them head-to-head. Like, the Cardinals are 4-4, the Niners are 4-4, the Seahawks are 4-4, and the Rams are 3-4. So that whole thing is kind of just stacked up in the NFC West. But, Brian, we had this conversation like 2 weeks ago because a bunch of receivers got traded. There have since been more receivers get traded. The Ravens add Deontay Johnson, who's a real speedster. That one's interesting to me because his reputation in Pittsburgh, where they're able to deal with anybody. Tomlin has a track record of dealing with anybody. Mm-hmm. He kind of didn't want to deal with Deontay Johnson. But it's not like the Ravens don't know the Steelers well, and they're willing to take him on. Maybe the Ravens just have enough senior leadership. And
Harbaugh is very similar to what Tomlin is. Maybe a little harder, but he's not going to really put up with you very long. But I think that they have a leadership group over there that's good enough to get him in line.
Well, and maybe you know coming into Baltimore with Lamar and Derrick Henry and Kyle Hamilton and just the amount of star power they have that, like, all right, I'm just going to roll with this. Like, I will shut up because evidently he's coming in to be the third wideout, and you already have Bateman and Zay Flowers. Mm-hmm. That stuff will kind of prove itself.
Yeah.
But my question. They're a week out now, less than a week. They're 5 days out or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's next Tuesday. It's election day. Should they be making a move?
I don't see a move that they can make right now that's going to make them drastically better. I think that they've been improving enough. Now, I would say a pass rusher could help. That helps any damn team. And I think their move is not going to be just try to fill a position. Can you fill a position with someone that you're going to have for some years? I don't think no moves to be made of somebody that's going to come in this year and then they're gone next year.
Listen to the names that have already been traded this year. Devontae Adams, Amari Cooper, DeAndre Hopkins, Deontay Johnson, Cam Akers, Uche from the Pats to the Chiefs. I don't know that a big move is going to happen. But
what would you consider a big move?
A starter. You get another starter. Whether it's a pass rusher, a corner, another wide out. I could see a depth move happening. But to your point, Adam Peters has been crystal clear that he wants to build through the draft. Mm-hmm. I think the moves we have seen, getting rid of Jahan Dotson for a pick at the top of the list, and then all the veterans that were brought in on pretty much short-term deals, like, I don't think they're going to get off that stance. Frankly, I'm not sure they should. Mm-hmm. But there is, you know, there is some – it's a finite resource, man. You've got a good team. And who knows, a year from now you could just be stuck by injuries like the Niners. Or 2 years from now you got to pay different people. Like, you never want – not push all in, but I think in their minds, they've already gone all in for this team. You know, like there's a separation there.
But see, the thing of it, the way I get caught at that, I know every time we get the trade deadline, everybody wants to see people move. You know what could happen? Stephon Diggs. You can trade for a guy and he'll be hurt the next game. So ultimately, you'll be stuck with what you have. And if you feel your team is improving and everybody has been together – and your chemistry is building, why go out and mess that up? Now, I understand about trying to get better players, but I've been around football a long time. Just plug in one guy, for the most part, that doesn't work.
And I wonder if they had a big injury or something. Like, I understand why Minnesota adds a tackle, because they've got a good team, and you just had a major injury at the position.
I mean, see, when you look at the people that have made moves thus far, the better teams that have basically lost somebody. If the Lions go rush and try to get a big-time pass rusher, you can understand that. They lost a damn good one, you know?
Right.
But I think a lot of times when you start a season and you have a certain mindset and you start having a level of success, the overall thought process is, oh, we could go do it all right now. And sometimes you forget those things can happen too, you know? And if you build it for the long haul and you happen to have some success along the way, you have it. But it's not a necessity.
When there's also the point, and I think you said this, like, they're 6-2 with a top 5 offense and a top 10 defense.
Yeah.
What if. Honestly, I mean, you talk about a receiver wanting to add a receiver. I've said all along, so when it happens, credit me, that I think for Luke McCaffrey and for Ben Sennett, if when those guys come on, it would be a second half of the season type thing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of times you see receivers, you see rookies kind of start to figure it out second half of the season.
Yeah,
that is now going forward. Like, it's entirely possible Luke can even emerge as a number two wideout.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want or expect significant pass rush help, right? Because I hear this one a lot. Dexter, the Giants aren't moving. Just looking at like the top 10, top 15 type players, there's not a lot of dudes that are on teams where they'd move them. And then the guys that are actually young enough, there's no chance they're going to move them.
Mm-hmm.
And you could talk about Crosby. The owner came out specifically and said no. Hendrickson with the Bengals. But the Bengals are trying to climb back in this thing too. And Will Anderson was the number two overall pick last year. They're not moving off him in Houston, who's 6-2. Mm-hmm. Will McDonald's kind of an interesting one with the Jets. But
normally when you see
the way Aaron Rodgers is running the show up there, they ain't trading away. They'd be trading four.
when you see a guy that you would want on your team, the team that has him saying, I'm not letting him go. Unless you just go make a ridiculous offer. And they go, yeah, we can't pass this up. You think that's going to happen coming from this team?
No. I think of players that could potentially be available. Trayvon Walker, right? I don't think he's available. It's a former number one overall pick that's probably in his – what year is Trayvon in? His third season? They got two more years of team control. Cheap.
Yeah.
A guy, Za'Darius Smith, maybe – he's 32. Yeah. Like, that's a dude. Cleveland stinks. Maybe they're looking. Honestly, if these guys are in full self-preservation mode, but the Giants should be looking to trade assets. I don't think they're going to.
Nah.
But, dude, what would Dexter Lawrence get you on the trade
block
right now?
Didn't he just sign like a year or two ago?
Yeah. Yeah. He's paid. He's under contract. But that team's terrible.
I guarantee anybody, some major players would love to have that one. And then that's another thing you got to be concerned about. When you start reaching out to a guy and another team catch wind of it, you might pay way more than you want to pay. And I have seen it time and time again in this area. We always want to be involved with every trade, and then we don't want to give away. Now, oh, if we can get him for this, when you start trying to low play a major trade around this time, you're not getting it. And you can't be serious about it.
We will all watch and learn together as it relates to the Commanders trade deadline. When we come back, we're all going to make some bets.
Make.
All right, Landville. Jeff talking trash to me and B-Mitch because we're out of the studio. Do you think he talks more trash when we're in studio or when we're out?
He talks – I mean, I think it's pretty equal, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, he's kind of nuts and just talks trash all the time. Is that how you would describe it?
Yeah, pretty much.
I tend to agree. Speaking of trash, the Commanders just provided us lunch. They put some subs out. Love a good sub. And I decided to put the hot peppers on it. And B-Mitch is like, man, your stomach's going to be messed up tomorrow. And I was like, man, I'll probably be messed up in an hour. Some things are just good enough to accept and power forward.
Do you know who provided us with lunch here at the station?
Oh, you wouldn't believe it.
All-time upset.
Tailgate Ted.
Nope.
No.
Valdez.
Chris Russell.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did the Roost bring in?
Y'all have a stomachache.
He got Emmy squared.
Did he buy it today or did he buy it last Wednesday?
It was fresh.
It was good.
Did he purchase it?
I think he did.
No, he did.
Hell no.
He ordered it while we were at work.
Why did he do that on the day he very much knew me and B weren't there?
Well, I'm not concerned.
I don't know, because he got some for Grant and Danny,
He
too.
Did, yeah.
What?
Now they're taking it a little too far. They trying to get you riled up.
No. We're not.
Lampard did send a bunch of pictures of Rooster in the studio earlier, but I don't see any pizza.
Yeah.
Let's make some bets.
Gather round.
Heard it here first. Jeffrey.
All right, sitting in last place because I don't even know why bro even felt to text the group chat at 6 o'clock to put a bet in. So sitting at last place, we got B Mitch at 0-2. And you know why I'm really not letting it slide?
How am I 0-2?
Because you sent a bet in 4 hours after the show was over.
I still sent it in before the game started.
Nah, bro, it don't work
and
like
I
that.
Sent the, and that I don't won work on like, Monday. And then, I won and on then, Monday night.
No, you wasn't here. And you was you I had to take to your L.
Yes,
you
do. You're yes, the you one that said if you're not there, you take an
take
L.
Take the L.
That was your rule.
To put a rule in. To put a bet in.
Yeah, nah.
I made the bet on Monday. I was there. I bet on Monday night.
But you wasn't here yesterday.
You did hit Monday, but you didn't hit last night. So that's your rule.
Jeff tried to ask stuff else. Look, you know what I'll tell you, Jeff? I don't even give a damn. We ain't making no money anyway. Who gives a damn?
He's 1-1. He's 1-1.
No, I'm 0-2. You ain't getting no damn red beans neither.
I ain't gonna lie, that was the real reason.
I don't care.
Your response to my text message is
you
the reason.
You will not get damn red.
You gave me a two finger salute via text. And I say text. Two because it's both hands.
Look at your text again. I got more than that for you now.
And the rest of us sitting at 1-1, so. For the sake of my red beans and rice, the whole show is sitting at 1-1.
No, I'm 0-2.
You were 1-1 because you hit Monday night.
Yeah, I got Jeff. Don't worry about it.
All right, I got a pick tonight. I was all over, if you recall, last week, Kennesaw State with the points, and they won their first game of the year. We're going to fade old Kennesaw State. We're going to lay the points with Western Kentucky tonight. I think Kennesaw State probably had their Super Bowl and then their subsequent Super Bowl party. I do not believe the 1-6 Owls have turned it around. Give me the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers -24.
I'm going to take Liberty tonight. I'm not even going to touch the World Series. Good luck, Yankees.
Give me the Dodgers.
I'm taking the Hawks -5.
That was another pick that was on my radar, Landini.
Give me the Dodgers. Landville, if it was on JP's radar, get off of it.
I'm just saying, the Wiz just beat the Hawks the other night.
It's only on his radar because he's working tonight.
I'm not.
Oh,
I am.
Okay.
All right. I got all ears at NBC tonight. I'm not working the Wizards.
You got a lot of ears.
JP has big ears at NBC tonight.
Just call it big ears?
That's what it's called, right?
No, it's called All Ears, Landfill. It's a play on words.
I thought it was JP has gigantic ears.
All ears with JP Finley.
All no ears. Matter how you put it, it all works.
I'll get you a t-shirt, Landini. Thank you to everyone that listened to the program. Thank you to Neil Greenberg for joining us. Thank you to Pat Leonard for joining us. Thank you to Aaron Schatz for joining us. We got to hear from DQ as well. Grant and Danny coming your way next. You made it this far. I owe you a bet.